Malo e tau lava ke pongpongini, it is currently 7:11 a.m. Now, the government has announced a raft of changes they plan to implement in education, including addressing truancy. Sonia Pope is New Zealand's first Tongan and Niuean educational psychologist, and she joins us now to discuss the potential impact of some changes proposed by the government. Malo lele, Sonia, how are you this morning? And thank you so much for joining the show.
Malo lele, and thank you. Good morning as well. It's great to be here. Thank you for the invitation.
Yeah, malo apito. Now, let's kickstart this interview. To start, for many of the listeners who aren't familiar with what an educational psychologist is, what is an educational psychologist and what's involved in the work that you do?
Yeah, good question. So an educational psychologist basically just helps a student's well-being in terms of their learning, in terms of their education. So whatever factors may inhibit someone's positive learning experience, whether that be for any kind of learning difficulties or any kind of trauma, any kind of cognitive, so any kind of mental kind of issues that might affect you from further studying or doing well at school, an educational psychologist basically just helps unpack the problem and helps solve it.
Wow, that's really important work that you carry out there. So yeah, heads up to you. Heads off to you. So now, on the topic of education, the government has recently announced it will be implementing the attendance action plan to help increase student attendance. How effective do you think this plan will be, especially considering our Pacific youth?
So, you know, if we're looking at attendance, just from personal experience, attendance to there's a lot of evidence that suggests that attendance in school is a good thing, and it's both at an individual level and a societal level. So individual meaning that those who go to school more do have better grades, those who go to school more and find school as a positive kind of place, they will have better well-being, they will have better engagement, they will have better learning outcomes, they will have a stronger sense of connection to the school. And obviously at a societal level, you know, we get more qualified students who come through, we get more workers, we get more people who are able to work independently, get jobs because they are able to finish school and get, you know, a better living, better opportunities. But in terms of, you know, that kind of framework only works well when students who find school a positive place. And unfortunately, the students that I work with, it's just a minority, so it's a very small bunch, but those are the kind of students who might not necessarily see school as a positive place for them. You know, it might be the root cause of maybe some of the trauma that they might be feeling, root cause of, you know, some of the bullying issues that they experience, some of the mental health issues that come through in terms of, you know, it's very anxiety triggering. And so when, you know, we hear about these plans about raising attendance, it just, you know, helps me question, like, what does it mean for these students who find these places very traumatic and yet we're forcing them to go into school every single day? And unfortunately, that does mean a lot of our Māori and Pacific Island students, because just because the data shows that it's our Māori and Pacific Island students who are the most disadvantaged when it comes to schooling and schooling outcomes. So it's more like it's not a one plan fits all kind of thing. With this kind of action plan that the government is bringing out, although it's not, you know, finished, there's still more news to come. But my kind of questioning is, you know, who is this plan for and what happens for these minority, these specific students? You know, what kind of plan is out there to kind of support them?
That's an interesting point that you raised in regards to school being not a positive place for many of the young people. So thanks for bringing that up. But also on that, you mentioned one plan fits all. What do you suggest will work better instead of this attendance action plan, specifically in our Pacific communities?
So I do, you know, really voice that attendance is important, and I really encourage attendance. So I definitely believe that attendance should be increased, that there is an attendance crisis, that we should be looking at ways to increase attendance. But I think for me, and my personal view in terms of my professional kind of judgment, is that we should really focus more on the creating a positive environment, creating a positive experience for these students. So for me, it's not so much about the numbers in terms of how many days you come to school, but it's more about, how does the government ensure that the school environment is welcoming to students? How do we ensure that, the numbers or that, the government ensures that these schools are safe, that the students can feel connected, that students can feel they have a sense of belonging, that students come and there's a positive relationship between teachers and students, peers and peers. Because I believe that if we focus more on those areas, it will naturally increase the attendance of these students when we focus on, the well-being of the students, when we focus about the holistic, the bigger picture. Because attendance in numbers doesn't necessarily mean it's a good thing. It only means it's a good thing if the whole positive experience comes with it as well.
That's a really good point that you raised there about the whole positive experience, because I know a lot of young people will find that attractive, and we've heard that. We did an interview of Tangaroa College where kids said that this won't work and that they need school to be a more positive place. So really, really good point there. Now, a lot of the drop in school attendance rates has been from COVID. Is this reflected in the work that you carry out as an educational psychologist?
Yes, so since COVID has ended, we have seen it was quite difficult to kind of raise the attendance of students across, all levels. So me working, from kindergarten as young as 2 years old, all the way up to high school, up to 18 years old, the patterns were the same. It was hard to get numbers back. And I think that if we really think about it and really unpack, COVID happened over 3 years. Okay, so those students who were 2 years old or 3 years old and started kindergarten, they went into lockdown for 3 years. They came back, they had to start primary school. Those 3 years of prepping them from primary school was lost. Those kids who were year five, year six in primary school left. Experienced COVID for 3 years, they had to come back and either start intermediate or even had to start high school. And those high school students who were form seven, form six, they went away, experienced COVID for 3 years. They missed out on all those ball, poly fest, all those opportunities to socialize. And when they came back, they had to go straight into university. So you can just imagine the anxiety that students feel because they feel unprepared or they feel like they weren't prepped enough for the next stage of their life. And they're so right, because when they were away from school, they missed out on all those opportunities to learn and to grow. And they also were going through a grieving process because they were saying, hey, this is not a natural development because I'm being stuck at home for 3 years when this is the most important time to be able to socialize with my friends and my peers at school. And so it's when we came back to school, anxiety looks different for everybody. And some kids were able to adjust much faster than others. So they were able to get back into school, get back into usual routine. But obviously, some of our other students struggled a little bit more. And even till today, there's still some of those feelings of anxiety trying to find their feet, even after COVID.
That's a very interesting point you raised there, the 3 year gap that for many did not seem like a lot, but for our young people obviously impacted them a lot. Now, on the topic of young people, there's also the plan to introduce boot camps for young offenders soon. What's your views on that, and can you see it reducing the number of young offenders?
In all honesty, no. And I feel like that's for my personal opinion. Maori and Pacific populations, especially Maori and Pacific students, they are already disadvantaged by the school system. And that's been evidenced. There's so many studies out there that show that Maori and Pacific Island students have higher rates of the likelihood of, being bullied, being marginalized, being, discriminated. And so when those populations or those students are already discriminated and marginalized, when you're introducing things like boot camp, it just further marginalizes them. You know, it further kind of discriminates them. And with the high level of poverty amongst these populations, it almost doesn't make sense to be able to, you know, because, you know, they're thinking of fining students for not attending as well as the boot camps. And money's already a scarcity, so it doesn't really make sense to, you know, find them when they're not coming to school. And because we're such a collectivist culture, as in, you know, Pacific people, we're one big family, we do everything as a unit, it doesn't make sense to take that person out into a boot camp and separate them from their family when we know that as Pacific people, we excel better when we're together, when we're as a group.
Thank you for that. Now, the Ministry of Education have announced it'll be dismissing 565 of its workers. What do you think that means for the future of education in New Zealand? And could this possibly mean a lack of support for Pacific learners in Aotearoa?
I mean, I believe that there's still so much work that needs to be done in the education system. You know, I feel like in this economy, we're probably seeing budget cuts everywhere. It's sad that it has to come in the education system because, you know, I know, and this is from experience, that there's so much more that education needs to be focused on. For example, you know, ensuring that our teachers don't burn out, ensuring that our schools are well-resourced, has the materials that they need. You know, there are a lot of students who are stuck on the waiting list because they can't get into alternative education. Or there's a lot of students who with disabilities can't get into special schools because the waiting lists are way too long. You know, these limited opportunities to be able to retain our teachers in a way that would help them feel a great job satisfaction so that they can stay in the education system much longer. And so when I hear news about, you know, education being funding cuts, I'm thinking about all the other issues that, you know, that's just kind of adding on to this kind of fuel that might happen with education. Not necessarily saying that it's all bad because, you know, at least there are people in the education system that very, you know, that love their job, and we are very grateful to have those kind of people in education striving and, you know, serving our Pacific Island students, our Māori students. But if, you know, if we as a government, as a society, as parents, as you know, aunties and uncles and nieces, if we don't come together and support the education system, I think that that's a fault on all of us. Because even though, yes, the government is the person leading this all these education changes, but at the end of the day, it's our children and we are as one village, and it's our responsibility to ensure that we come together and do whatever we can because the children are at the forefront of this, and it's our children, I guess. Yeah.
Mala
If that
pito,
makes
Sonia, great, great points that you raised there. Now, to wrap up the interview, do you have any final thoughts you'd like to leave with our listeners?
As an educational psychologist, one thing that I've always learned through my practice is that, you know, the schooling looks different for everybody. And there are people out there, especially young people and students, who are saying, you know, I don't want to go to school. I want to drop out. School's not for me. And sometimes it's not the schooling. Sometimes it's the system. Sometimes it's the structure. Sometimes it's just your teacher. You know, it's a wrong teacher, wrong student kind of relationship. But just know that you have the potential to do anything that you want to do. Every single kid, you know, listening, or every parent listening to this, just because you've had a bad schooling experience, that doesn't necessarily mean that you're a bad learner, that you're a bad student. You can still continue to learn and you still continue to thrive. Just don't let those bad experiences hold you back. And I think that's just, yeah, one thing I wanted to leave.
Whā malo lahi au pito a kia te koe a Sonia Pope for taking the time out this morning at 7:10 a.m. to be on our show to have this very important talanoa, especially considering your work as an educational psychologist. So thank you again.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Now, if you missed it, you can watch the full interview on our 531PI Facebook page. When we come back, Falena Prouting, Nursing Director for Etu Pacifica Auckland, will be on the show to talk about vaccinations as the winter season approaches. All that and more headlines and breaking news throughout the show, and we'll continue to bring you the best in Pacifica music right here on the show that informs, educates and entertains. It's Pacific Mornings on 531PI.
Yes, it is 26 minutes to 8 o'clock now on this beautiful Friday morning. Today I'm going to be my friend. You are here with producer Levi this morning. Now, as we head closer to the winter season, the Pacific Health Force is pushing for the importance of getting vaccinated against the flu, MMR and COVID-19. Now joining us to share more is the Nursing Director for Etu Pacifica Auckland, Falena Prouting. And with that we say good morning, welcome to the show, my friend. How are you this morning?
Good morning, Levi. I'm doing really good. I'm a bit nervous but also excited. Thank you for having me.
Now, we'll appreciate you jumping onto the show despite the nerves this morning, but you'll be all good because I think there's some good information to be shared. So do appreciate you for jumping onto the show this morning. Now, before we get into it, can you just tell us about Etu Pacifica Auckland and some of the work that your team does?
Okay, so Etu Pacifica Auckland, there are two clinics here in Auckland. We have Etu Pacifica Auckland, which is based in Mount Wellington, and then we have another clinic in South Auckland, and we do have another clinic in Christchurch. We are probably going to have another one soon, maybe in a couple of years here in Auckland as well. So we are a Pacific provider also. Just for this winter preparation, we started off with this vaccination drive. On the 6th of April, we had a clinic at vaccination drive at the clinic, which we invited the community to come, and they came, whole family came, which was fantastic to see. That's just some of the things we're doing so far.
Now, let's have a look back at 2020 when COVID hit. Now, vaccination rates dropped for other, potential illnesses because we were so focused on COVID-19 vaccine at the time, right? Has this changed since then, specifically with our Pacific community? Have we seen a shift in our Pacific community getting the vaccination against other illnesses?
It's slowly getting better, Levi. Yeah, it definitely did drop. COVID scared a lot of our Pacific people, but we're creating a lot of awareness now, and our families are slowly coming back to the clinic and having their children immunized and also the elderly. So yeah, definitely I'm slowly getting back on track again.
Yeah, that might answer the next question, because it was that, why has the Pacific Health Force looked at pushing this reminder to get vaccinated this year?
For us as an organization, we want to create a lot of awareness. I know our Pacific people, our families we are big families. We have a lot of families. And we want to protect each other. So that's our main focus this year, is just promoting as much as we can, creating a lot of awareness to our families, say, hey, don't be scared. The flu vaccine has been here for years, and we're offering it for free for our families as well. Yeah, that's our main focus.
Are people taking COVID-19 as seriously as they were a few years ago? Does that seem to be...
I think people are, COVID is still out there. It's just not been announced how we used to have it announced, on TV and so forth. Yeah, people are a little bit more relaxed, I suppose you can say, but we need to just, be aware COVID is still there and it can cause a lot of harm to us.
Yeah, is that a little bit of a worry for you guys, that's the reality?
Yeah, it can be. Yeah, definitely a worry. So definitely, that's why we're pushing this for this weekend. For Saturday, we're pushing the flu vaccine and the measles vaccine, and also for COVID vaccine. So we'll have those vaccines available tomorrow at our clinic.
Awesome. Just letting you know, Flanny, you're doing well so far. You're doing really well out here.
Thank you. Thank you to breathe.
Yeah, you're doing really well. Do our people tend to trust health advice? Is that what you're noticing, especially since there was a lot of anti-vaccination sentiment during the COVID pandemic? Are you noticing that it's hard to get Pacific people to maybe trust some of that advice, or has it been okay?
It's been okay. Our Pacific people are very... trustworthy, or like they trust their medical team. We see them come in, that
Yeah, they definitely do trust us, and we, I think for us as a team, we just need to keep growing there, making sure that we keep doing what we're supposed to be doing for our people.
In your time as a nurse, do our Pacific communities struggle to get vaccinated compared to our European counterparts?
Yes, definitely, we do struggle. It is sad. We try and push it as much as we can. We try and educate our Pacific people as much as we can, but our numbers, our percentages definitely is lower than the mainstream.
Now, heading into tomorrow, can you just tell us about tomorrow's vaccination event and where it will be and all the information about it?
Okay, so tomorrow is our vaccination drive. We're gonna have it at our head office, which is number 7A Pacific Rise, Mount Wellington, from 8:30 to 3 p.m. So we are inviting our community, our Pacific community, to come along and bring your families. Doesn't matter if you're registered or casual. We want everybody to come, get the flu vaccine if they want the measles vaccine, also the COVID vaccine. It's available for them. We're giving away some food vouchers. We're giving away some winter preparation packs. And Moana Pacifica has given us some tickets for their games as well.
Awesome.
We have some barbecue sausages going on. So there's going to be a lot of things going on at 7A Pacific Rise, Mount Wellington.
And what time
Yeah.
will that start and finish?
So we start from 8:30 to 3 p.m. We are hoping that the rain is not going to keep people away,
Yeah.
but we're kind of prepared for that as well, for the rain. So please come along. Everybody's welcome.
Hey, look, we really appreciate your time this morning. You've done really well. Look at that, eh? Done and dusted.
Thank you so much.
All good. Before we wrap up this morning, do you have any final thoughts?
No, we just want to invite our community. Please come tomorrow. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, really appreciate your time this morning. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you, Levi. Thank
All good.
you.
Thank you, guys. Hey, look, if you are just tuning in this morning, you can, and you want to see that full Taranoa, you can view it on our Facebook page at 5:31 PI this morning. It is currently 19 minutes now to 8 o'clock. We're going to jam out some more of this good music. We'll let you know what's coming up next. Do stay with us on 5:31 PI. Good morning.
Malo e tau lava ke pongpongini. It is currently 8:10 a.m. The ACT Party shocked the House as well as many in the Pacific community when they supported Green MP Teano Tuiono's Members Bill that may restore citizenship for some Samoans at its first reading last Wednesday. ACT List MP Palmjeet Palmer spoke on behalf of the ACT Party during the debate, and she joins us this morning to talk about why they voted in favour for the bill. Good morning, Palmjeet. Thank you for joining the show. How are you this morning?
Very good, Tala Falava. Thank you for having me on.
Yes, really appreciate you making the time for the interview. Now let's get started. Before we get into our talanoa, let's have a listen to what you said in the House when the bill had its first reading last week.
So basically this bill is to repeal that 1982 bill. And Madam Speaker, I want to just ease that member's nervousness by saying that ACT Party has decided to support this bill to select committee. And yes, I know some members are looking quite surprised.
Now, your speech received the loudest and the longest applause that night, and it certainly shocked many that ACT was supporting Green MP Teano Tuiono's bill. Now, why did your party vote in favour of this bill?
So for us, when a bill comes before Parliament, what happens is that bill is taken to our caucus, and then caucus makes a decision based on the merits of the bill. And we always like to evaluate all the legislations that come before us with that lens of ACT Party's values. And we believe in fairness. We believe in giving equal opportunity to everybody. And I know that this bill is really important for our Samoan brothers and sisters. And Samoan community has contributed hugely to New Zealand, and they continue to contribute to New Zealand to make it a nation that we are. And I and the ACT Party believes that this taking this bill to select committee process will give the opportunity to the community to have a fair say.
Now, I guess what surprised some people is that given ACT's stance on some Māori and Te Tiriti issues, as well as your leader's comments on the Ministry for Pacific Peoples, many perhaps felt that your party has a negative view on race-based issues. What's your response to that?
So I can see where that view is coming from and why so many members were so surprised, but this is what ACT Party believes in. We see each and every issue on its merit. And it's not about race, it's about making sure that everybody is equal. So we want to take that race component out. And this bill is about a particular community, and this bill is also about assessing the fairness component. And in the select committee process, we will get that opportunity to assess if things that happened in the past, in 1982 Act, if they were fair or unfair. So members who will be coming forward to the select committee to submit, they will have the opportunity to express their views and also to substantiate their views. And then it will be up to the select committee to basically analyze, evaluate those views, and then put their recommendations forward. And I was just looking at, unfortunately, we don't have any ACT members on the select committee that the bill has been referred to. So I'll be keeping a very close eye on what submitters are saying on this bill.
Now, was it a consensus vote in the ACT Party caucus to support the bill, or were some MPs opposed to supporting it?
So our rule is that we do not discuss what happens in caucus. Yes, of course, on every issue, every bill, there is a discussion. And after that discussion is done, we come up with a decision, and that becomes the decision of the whole party.
Now, National were the only party opposed to the bill. What's your view on their stance and the arguments they made in Parliament on Wednesday?
Unfortunately, I don't want to speak for them. I can only speak for us. And for us, it's about reflecting on the issue. And select committee process will give us that opportunity to reflect on this issue in the kind of depth that we would like it to.
Well, congratulations on supporting the bill. I know some members of the Pacific community are looking at the ACT Party a little differently after that vote. While we have you, many within the Pacific community, however, have expressed their frustrations with the coalition government's cuts, especially to the departments such as Ministry for Pacific Peoples and most recently the Ministry for Education and Oranga Tamariki. Don't you think less staff will mean less outcomes?
Not always, because it's about what we deliver. So what we want to see is that all departments are able to deliver what the departments are meant to do, rather than measuring that delivery component by the numbers of people, those who are working. So sometimes we get misled by the numbers of people and the proportionality to what is being delivered. So our focus is on delivery, and that is what we want to do.
Now, we're just going back to the bill. Did ACT advise your coalition partners NZ First and National in advance that you were going to vote in favour of the bill?
As far as I understand, because that is the role of the whip, and there is a special meeting that happens. And in that meeting, as far as I understand, there is a process where parties inform each other how each party is going to vote on each and every bill. And that's the process. I understand there is a process.
And then now going back to the cuts, all we're hearing are the numbers being cut, most recently from the Ministry of Education. And for example, MSD is asking their staff who wants to take voluntary redundancy. That doesn't seem to be a very strategic way of looking at which programs are overstaffed. What's your response?
So I would actually leave those questions for the Minister of Education, because it's their portfolio and they should be responding to that question. I am able to speak in my capacity as a member of the ACT Party and as the spokesperson for the portfolios that I have been assigned.
Now, many of our listeners may not be aware that you were with the National Party First before and before you joined the ACT Party ahead of the last election. Clearly, it was the right move for you, given now that you're an MP. But can you tell us how you're personally feeling about making that change and the role that the ACT Party is playing within this coalition government?
Our ACT is playing a very important role in this coalition government. We are making sure that the government agenda is delivering on the commitments that we made during election. So we have negotiated and managed to get a lot of those commitments in the coalition agreement, and we will continue to deliver those commitments that are now part of coalition agreement. So ACT Party is working really hard. But yes, ACT Party is also taking the opportunity where we can to have the independent voice on some issues like this bill, like a members' bill. On members' bills, different parties can have different views. And on this members' bill, we decided that we are going to support this bill in the first reading, as I said, and then assess it after we see what submitters and advisors have to say on this bill. And as I said in my speech, that we assume that our Samoan community and Pacific brothers and sisters will be very supportive of this legislation, but it will be really important for us to hear from the wider community as well, because this is, yes, about one community, but it is also about us as a country.
Now, your leader, David Seymour, has mentioned the Healthy Lunches in Schools program is currently under review. Many within the Pacific community have expressed their concerns about the possible axing of this program, as many of our kids receive those free lunches in schools. What's your response to that?
So, again, that is a question for the Honourable David Seymour, but what I can tell you is that he's really focused on making sure that that program works for children. So at the moment, what we are seeing is that it's not working for everybody and every school. So we want to make sure that that program is efficient, and he's trying to review and see how we can make it efficient.
Now, before we wrap up this interview, do you have any final thoughts you'd like to leave with our listeners?
No, I just want to thank you for giving me the opportunity, and I would really encourage your listeners, if anybody thinks that they want to have a say on this bill, that they take this opportunity and submit on this legislation. And if they don't want to appear before the legislation, before the select committee for this legislation, that is also totally fine. They can just send a written submission, because this is their opportunity to have their say. And we really look forward to all the submissions.
Thank you so much for your time this morning, Palmjeet Palmer. It's a pleasure having you on the show, and we really value your thoughts on, you know, the ACT Party supporting the bill as well as other issues. So thank you again.
Thank you.
Now, if you missed it, you can watch the full interview on our 531 Facebook page. When we come back, you'll hear from the first driver of Pacific descent ever to race in the supercars. All that and more headlines and breaking news throughout the show, and we'll continue to bring you the best in Pacifica music right here on the show that informs, educates, and entertains. It's Pacific Mornings on 531 PI.